We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 15th chapter, verses 69 to 80. Verse 69. Aham pura bhavam kasche gantavo paparhana nam natite mahakalpe gantavanam sasamachaha. Long, long ago, in another mahakalpa, millennium of Brahma, I existed as the Gandharva known as Upabharhana. I was very respected by the other Gandharvas. Mukam karati vachanam panganam hayate gune yakipam maham bande shivaram yachanam omagyana chimarandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshumiritam yena tasmai shikurave namah. So what do you remember from yesterday's class? Yes, Nitai Gaur Jai. Jai Nitai Gaur.
You must shoot.
Shoot. We must shoot with our bow.
Our mind.
Soul or mind.
And
oh, yes.
Or both.
Yes, or both.
To the lotus feet of God.
We shoot our soul to the lotus feet of Krishna. Get the sword of knowledge from Krishna.
And strength from Balaram.
Strength for Balaram. Sharpen the sword. Okay, following the guru and his predecessors. What is the Sanskrit for the sword? Gyana asim. And what is the Sanskrit for the mercy? Achyuta bala, strength of Balaram. Okay, so what is the bow? Hare Krishna Mahamantra. For us, it's Hare Krishna Mahamantra. We take our bow of Hare Krishna and we shoot ourselves to the lotus feet of Krishna. So how many of you went to see Krishna Balaram or Gaur Nitai since last class? Yes, very good. So you all got some strength. And the sword of knowledge, of course, you're getting here as well. And the strength from Balaram. Anything else from yesterday's class? Adipush?
Everything is one.
Everything is one. Oh, Adipush became a Mayavadi. Oh, Prabhupada said, okay. Yeah, but he didn't say to merge. No merging allowed. But we can be one. How can we be one, Adi Purush? You can explain yourself.
All the actions.
All the conceptions are one. All the actions.
And all the things or substance.
And all the things, the dravya. Dravya dvaita and bhava dvaita, kriya dvaita and dravya dvaita. Very complicated philosophy. Yes. Don't be attached to these, but you can engage. These are, all can be dovetailed in devotional service as well. Engage in devotional service. All your activities. Yes?
So,
duality means what?
Duality of material wealth is unreal.
Yeah, but what is actually duality? What is maya? What is duality? Okay. Something else. Prashanta?
That it's illusion.
Yes. Duality means to see something separate from Krishna, unconnected from Krishna. That's duality. That's duality. Yes, sir. Body is a chariot. Intelligence. Yeah, driver is intelligence. The owner of the body. Yes, the soul. Dark well. Material existence, yes.
So we should control our mind and senses.
We take the bow and shoot ourselves to Krishna's lotus feet. So no more problem with the chariot. Because we're over there. We're not in the chariot anymore. Yes, that's the purport. Right. The Vedas. Okay, Madhavendra Puri, let's give somebody else. Okay, you were going to say that. Hare Purush? Two paths, Pitriyana and Devayana. Up and out or up and come back. And when you come back, the Pitriyana, you come back to this world, and the Devayana, you may come back or you may go. Yes, Bahuanam Jamanamante. You can, yes. After many, many births, So these are paths that take many, many breaths. So we should just chant Hare Krishna and go straight. It's a different path, according to something I read yesterday. The devotee's path is different from these Pituyana and Devayana paths. Anything else from yesterday's Jai Nitai?
Not reflection.
Oh. The body is not a reflection
of the elements.
It's not a combination of the elements, and it's not a transformation of the elements. So what is it? If it's not any of these, what is the body? It's not a combination. It's Maya. It's what is not. It's what we think we are. It's who we think we are. Okay? But it's not a reflection. It's not a combination. Yes.
It's like a dream.
It's like a dream. A bad dream. When we're born, the dream starts. Maybe even in the womb.
This body is a dream. Part of a dream.
It's but a dream. But we're very expert in enjoying the dream. Okay? In three words or less. Yes, okay, that is the conclusion. Thank you very much. Anything else from yesterday's? Yes, Vanamali. The who? Who are serving?
Pandavas.
Okay, Pandavas are serving Krishna, so they can defeat everyone, even the demigods in battle. So now today, all of a sudden, we're hearing Narada Muni's previous life. Of course, the whole seventh canto is spoken by Narada Muni. And so now we're going to hear the conclusion of the seventh canto, and is concluding with Narada Muni's life. So why is this? Because it's actually proving how Narada Muni, he was a Shudra, he was born in a Shudra family after his Gandharva birth. And even though he was born in a Shudra family and he didn't do any of the Sangskaras and he was not in the Varnashram Dharma, still he became a pure devotee of the Lord. So the conclusion that Jiva Goswami arrives at is because of devotion only and not Varnashram, one becomes very highly elevated position. So I'll read a little of the purport. Srila Narada Muni is giving a practical example from his past life. Formerly, during the previous lifetime of Lord Brahma, Narada Muni was one of the denizens of Gandharva Loka, but unfortunately, as will be explained, he fell from his exalted position in Gandharva Loka, where the inhabitants are extremely beautiful and expert in singing, to become a Shudra. Nonetheless, because of his association with devotees, he became more fortunate than he was in Gandharva Loka. Even though cursed by the Prajapatis to become a Shudra, in his next life he became the son of Lord Brahma. So one question I have here is, this is, now a Mahakalpa is a very long time. How long is a Mahakalpa? No, more than that. That's a day. That's a kalpa. Kalpa. Kalpa, yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, 311 trillion. I thought you said billion. Okay. Yeah, you're correct. You're correct. Mahakalpa. So how is it possible? I mean, some people may remember their past life, a few hundred years, but this is 311 trillion years ago he remembers his past life. How is this possible for Narada Muni to remember 311 trillion years ago? Yes.
He has a relation with Paramatma.
He has a relation with Paramatma. Okay, Paramatma told him. Okay. Yes. Actually, he has a spiritual body. So we read in some verses before that when you go back to Godhead, when you get to your causal body, which is the last snare, the last covering of the soul, you can then all of your previous lifetimes you remember. So he was beyond the causal body. He was in a spiritual body. He had already gone through that. So he could remember his life millions and trillions of years ago. So in the purport, nonetheless, because of his association with devotees, he became more fortunate than he was in Gandharva Loka. Even though cursed by the Prajapatis to become a Shudra, in his next life he became the son of Lord Brahma. So sometimes it's not so bad to be born in a low family, because then you have even a better chance. There's one purport where Srila Prabhupada says that in Kali Yuga now so many people are born in low families, but because they're in so much distress, then they become devotees of Krishna in this life. There's so much distress in the material world, and they easily become devotees. So here's a comment by Shridhar Swami. On the example of this ancient story, Narada Muni shows how even great persons fall down by disrespecting service of Sri Krishna and become perfect by his mercy. So Vishala Chakravarti Thakur, on the other hand, if someone by his good fortune obtains bhakti by saintly association, then the Lord, in his form of Srimad Bhagavatam, declares Dharman Santyajya Ya Sarvan Mam Bhajet Sacha Satama. This is 11.18.28. Having taken complete shelter at my lotus feet, a saintly person ultimately renounces such ordinary religious duties and worships me alone. He is thus considered the best among all living entities. So we heard all about this Varnashram, but the best person is one who renounces all these duties. And how do we know Krishna says that? How does Krishna say this? In Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadharman Parityaja Mamekam. This is our theme song here in the purports of Srila Prabhupada. Sarvadharman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam. So this is above all the Varnas. Give up Varnashram and just surrender to me. Varna, give up all your duties, ordinary duties. Of course, if you're in the Varnashram, like Arjuna was, then it's not that he stops being a Kshatriya and becomes a Brahmin, but he becomes a Kshatriya for Krishna. That's the difference. So this is Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's comment. Now we'll hear more about Narada Muni. Narada Muni says, I had a beautiful face and a pleasing, attractive bodily structure, decorated with flower garlands and sandalwood pulp. I was most pleasing to the women of my city. Thus I was bewildered, always feeling lusty desires. So end of the purport, Prabhupada makes a very interesting comment. Among the higher classes, Brahmana, Kshatriya, and Vaishya, there is no chance for men to mingle with women freely. But in the Shudra community, such mingling is open. So that's the difference between Vedic culture and Western culture. There is no intermixture of men and women in the Vedic culture. So in the Shudra community, mingling is open. Because there is no cultural education in this age of Kali, everyone is spiritually untrained and everyone is therefore to be considered Shudra. Ashuta Shudra Kalpahi Brahmana Kali Sambhava. When all the people become Shudra, certainly they are very bad. Manda Sumandamataya. Thus they manufacture their own way of life. With the result, they gradually become unfortunate, mandabhagya. And furthermore, they are always disturbed by various circumstances, hyupa-juptaha. So which verse is that, which Prabhupada is? 1.1.10. Praye-nau-payusha-sabhya-kalavasmin-yuge-janaha. So this is the character of the people in the age of Kali, mandabhagya, very, very manda, very, very low, very bad. So, 71. Now we're going to hear the story of Narada Muni's previous life. Once there was a Sankirtan festival to glorify the Supreme Lord in an assembly of the demigods, and Gandharvas and Apsaras were invited by Prajapatis to take part in it. Purport. Does that verse have a purport? It does. Okay. Sankirtan means chanting of the holy name of the Lord. The Hare Krishna movement is not a new movement, as people sometimes mistakenly think. 311 trillion years ago, it was going on in Gandharvaloka. Just imagine. In another creation, the creation before this, there was Nam Sankirtan. So it's how old is it? We can't even imagine. How many creations have there been? So how old is this Hare Krishna chanting? It's eternal. There's no age. They think it's just something new, 1970s, 60s. No, more than 311 trillion years ago. Hare Krishna movement is not a new movement. The Hare Krishna movement is present in every millennium of Lord Brahma's life. The holy name is chanted in all the higher planetary systems, including Brahmaloka and Chandraloka, not to speak of Gandharvaloka and Apsaraloka. So did you know that? Everyone's chanting Hare Krishna in all the planets, upper planets, planetary systems. Wherever you go, they know Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So don't worry if you go up there. You can chant with the demigods. Even if you don't make it next life, you can chant Hare Krishna in the heavenly planets with the rest of them and hope for a better next life. So The Sankirtan movement that was started in this world 500 years ago by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is therefore not a new movement. Sometimes, because of our bad luck, this movement is stopped. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his servants again start the movement for the benefit of the entire world, or indeed, the entire universe. So let's see, what is Narada Muni going to do at the Sankirtan festival? Is he going to glorify Krishna? Or is he going to glorify someone else? We will find out. 72. Narada Muni continued, being invited to that festival, I also joined, and surrounded by women, I began musically singing the glories of the demigods. Because of this, the Prajapatis, great demigods, in charge of the affairs of the universe, forcefully cursed me with these words. Because you have committed an offense, may you immediately become a Shudra, devoid of beauty. So his beauty was his attractive feature. And all the women, he was getting all the women by his beautiful. So now, the worst thing was to become ugly. And that was the curse. So, we have different commentators. I'll read the one by Vijayadwaj. Coming in front of Brahma, surrounded by women who were very attached to me and who were singing about me. Not only was he singing about the demigods, the women were glorifying Narada Muni. But his name wasn't Narada Muni. It was Upabarhana. Is another name. So just imagine what was going on here. You go to Sankirtan and just imagine going out on Sankirtan and doing this. This would not be appreciated by the GBC. And they would curse you to I don't know what. Right, Lila Shuka? No, Lila Shuka is very compassionate. And so he will not. He will preach. He will rectify you. And so this was going on in the association of the demigods, Brahma. They were all trying to do Sankirtan very nicely, and here Narada Upabarhana was ruining the party. He was doing something else. So intoxicated, he was maddened. And so Bhurija makes a comment that the glorification of Krishna is something different. When we're doing kirtan, if we have the consciousness, oh, I'm very expert kirtan leader, then this is not good. And sometimes play expert mridanga trying to attract the opposite sex also. Sometimes this happens in kirtan, looking to see who's listening to your kirtan. So this is not good. And this was going on since time immemorial, even in the Sankirtan party. So we have to be careful in our Sankirtan parties as well. 73. Although I took birth as a Shudra from the womb of a maidservant, I engaged in the service of Vaishnavas who were well versed in Vedic knowledge. Consequently, in this life I got the opportunity to take birth as a son of Lord Brahma. So end of the purport. Srila Prabhupada says, Sankirtan movement is important, for regardless of whether one is a Shudra, Vaishnava, Lecha, Yavan, or whatever, how many of us are whatever? As we don't know who we are. Whatever. Mlacha, Yavana, or whatever. Whoever. Yes. Etc. 243. Kirata Hunanda. Pula Kapunda Sa. Yenye Chapapa. Yenye Chapapa. Yada Pasha Yashaya. But there's hope for us if we take shelter. The lotus feet of the pure devotee. If one associates, and here Prabhupada says, if one associates with a pure devotee, follows instructions, and serves a pure devotee, his life is successful. So that's the story of all of our lives, that we were born like that, in these families, and somehow we're whatever category, because there's no category. We don't know who we are. But that, whatever we may be, we serve the pure devotee. And that's our greatest hope. There's a nice verse in the third canto. It's going to be in ninth canto. It'll be in ninth canto coming up with Durvasa Muni. Where the Lord, Durvasa Muni, comes to see the Lord in Vaikuntha. And he's begging you, please, please save me. He says, no, I cannot save you. I'm not independent. Yes, but there's another verse I'm thinking of. He says that My devotee is so dear to me, and even the devotee of my devotee is dear to me. So how can I... You must go to my devotee and get his forgiveness. Even devotee of my... Is that the same verse? I am not independent. I have no independence. Krishna is controlled. I was just listening this morning to a class by Burijan on the 10th canto. And Krishna was in really great trouble. He broke the butter pot, and he was feeding the monkeys with all the butter, and his mother found out, and she started chasing him all over the place, and he was so afraid of his mother. And in the verse, Prabhupada would say, the yogis, they cannot catch Krishna, they cannot capture, but Mother Yashoda, she can capture him by his love. So this is bhakti. We can be successful if we can somehow get the attention of a pure devotee of Krishna, who has actually captured Krishna in his heart. Anukulyena Krishnanushilanam. Bhakti consists of serving Krishna and his devotees very favorably. And yabhilashita shunyam. If one has no desire other than to serve Krishna and his devotee, then his life is successful. This is explained by Narada Muni through this practical example from his own life. So what verse in Bhagavad Gita also says... describes this one-pointed desire. Ekeha kurunandana. Yeah, vyavasayatmika buhir ekeha kurunandana. Bahushaka hyanantascha. Otherwise, if you don't have this one-pointed, then your mind is many branched. So many desires are there in your heart. So Prabhupada says, this is success. And this is the only desire of the devotee. It is that, again, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Korya Aikya. You keep the words of the spiritual master, make it one with your heart. So verse 74 says, Tarmaste Grihametiya Vanita Papanashana Grihasto Yena Paravim Anjasanya Sinam Iyat. The process of chanting the holy name of the Lord is so powerful that by this chanting, even householders, grihasthas, can very easily gain the ultimate result achieved by persons in the renounced order. Maharaj Yudhisthira, I have now explained to you that process of religion. So very interesting conclusion to this seventh canto, instructions for civilized human beings. What's the conclusion of all these instructions? Yes? Chant Hare Krishna.
With chanting?
Yes.
Even householders can really...
Even grihasthas. Because that was the question of Maharaj Yudhisthira.
At the beginning of 14.
Yes. At the beginning of 14 he asked that question. He said, Prabhupada says, this verse in the purport is a confirmation of the Krishna consciousness movement. Anyone who takes part in this movement, regardless of what he is, can gain the topmost result achieved by a perfect sannyasi, namely Brahma-gyan, spiritual knowledge. So what's another verse from Bhagavad Gita that confirms what Srila Prabhupada just said here? That anyone who takes part, regardless of what he is, can gain the topmost result. What verse? Striyo vaisha sita shujas. Mamhi partha. Napashitya. Yepi su papa yonaya striyo vaishas tatashidras. Tepi yanti param gatim. So param gatim is for sannyasis. But even women, vaishas and shudras can get the highest thing if they simply, what? Tava dharmam parityaja mamekam sharanam. Just surrender to Krishna. Simple. What does surrender mean for us? What does Prabhupada say we should do? And he will take us back to Godhead? 16 rounds and follow the four regulative principles. Surrender to Krishna. This is surrender. This is the minimum of surrender. We can do more if we have the ability. We can do more than that. And hopefully we will do more. So purport. Even more important, he can advance in devotional service. Maharaj Yudhisthira thought, because he was a grihastha, there was no hope of his being liberated. Therefore, he asked Narada Muni how he could get out of material entanglement. So just imagine, Maharaj Yudhisthira, he's so elevated. How is he thinking like this? Oh, I'm a grihastha. I'm in grihastha life. And this was before, before their exile. He was having the Rajasiya sacrifice. He was emperor of the whole world. So that's quite an entanglement, to be emperor of the whole world. So he was feeling entangled. He says, what's the hope? Of course, then Krishna took everything away from him. But then he had to go back and accept it, the kingdom again, because that was Krishna's desire. Krishna didn't want him to go live in the forest. Krishna wanted him to be the king. So whatever Krishna wants, first Krishna took everything, okay, he lived in the forest. Then Krishna gave him everything back, okay, I have to be emperor now. And so that was Yudhisthira. But how he's asking Narada Muni, there's no hope, I'm a grihastha, what will I do? And so that's why this whole seventh canto is part of, this whole seventh canto is being spoken to Maharaj Yudhisthira by Narada Muni. And then the 14th, beginning of 14th chapter, he asked that question, what is the hope for me? After he was hearing all the, he heard about the brahmachari, the vanaprastha, and sannyas. And he said, well, what about me? I'm a grihastha. And so then Krishna said, don't worry, even grihasthas can, if they just chant Hare Krishna, they can have the supreme destination. And this is the highest religious principle. So Prabhupada says in the purport, but Narada Muni, citing a practical example from his own life, established that by associating with devotees and chanting Hare Krishna mantra, any man in any condition of life can achieve the highest perfection without a doubt. So there was another such, there was one Brahmin in Chaitanya Lila, and he was begging Lord Chaitanya, please be merciful, let me go with you, I cannot tolerate the waves of misery in my materialistic life. And Lord Chaitanya said, don't talk like that. Just stay at home and chant the holy name of Krishna always. And then he said, Jari Deko Tari Koho Krishna Upadesh. Whoever you meet, you instruct them about Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. And this way you become guru and liberate everyone in your land. And he said, and if you do this, then your materialistic life at home will not obstruct your spiritual advancement. And you will again meet me here, or you will never lose my company. So this is the advice. Wherever Lord Chaitanya went in South India, he gave the same advice to all the grihasthas, that you stay in your home, you chant, you preach to everyone you meet, and on my order you become guru and deliver these people. So Prabhupada, in the purport, this is, let's see, Madhya Lila 7, verses like between 126 to 30. I think I summarized it. Prabhupada says, it's not advisable in this age of Kali to leave one's family suddenly, for people are not trained as proper brahmacharis and grihasthas. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya advised the brahmana not to be too eager to give up family life. Better to remain with his family and try to become purified by chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra regularly under the direction of a spiritual master. If this principle is followed by everyone, there is no need to accept sannyas. And then, let's see. Prabhupada says, many people come and inquire whether they have to give up family life to join ISKCON, but that is not our mission. One can remain comfortably in his house. We simply request everyone to chant Maha Mantra. If one can read, if one is a little literate, Prabhupada says, and can read Gita and Bhagavatam, that is so much the better. So chanting is enough, but if you can read, then read Gita and Bhagavatam. That's even better. These works are available, and people throughout the world should take advantage of this movement and chant Hare Krishna. Preach. Gita and Bhagavatam. Okay, let me see if I can find it here. It was the last one. Yeah, okay. If one is a little literate and can read Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, that is so much the better. So he says, just chant. We simply request everyone to chant Hare Krishna. And if he is literate, if he can read, then that is so much the better. That is good. Even better if you can read. There's another thing like that Prabhupada says. He says, okay, hearing, chanting, remembering. And if you can also worship the deity, that's nice. That's also good. He does that in another place.
Hmm? It's more important than hearing chanting.
Hearing chanting, yes. Hearing and chanting is first. Is the first, is the essence. When Lord Chaitanya was asked, what he gave the whole nectar of devotion, so many principles, and then he was asked which is the most important. He said chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And of course he gave five most potent forms of devotional service as well. But of the five, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the most important. And with all the other five, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is there as well. In all the other five most potent forms. So when Prabhupada came to India in 1971, he gave a lecture in Bombay. And in that lecture, he said, first he offered obeisances to his spiritual master, Om Vishupad Paramahansa Parivajakacharya Stotra Satashi Shimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj Prabhupada. He was creating more brahmacharis and sannyasis for preaching work, but I am creating more grihastas. Because in Europe and America, the boys and girls intermingle so quickly and intimately, it is very difficult to keep one brahmachari. So he said, yes, grihastas. So there is no need of artificial brahmacharis. It is sanctioned. My Guru Maharaj wanted to establish Daiva Varnashram. So married life is grihastha ashram. It's as good as sannyas ashram. Ashram means where there is Bhagavat bhajan. Doesn't matter if one is sannyasi, grihastha, or brahmachari. Main principle is Bhagavat bhajan. For practical example, I may say one of my godbrothers, a sannyasi, was deputed to go to London for starting a temple, but 3 or 4 years he remained there and could not execute the will. Therefore, he was called back. Now, I sent 6 married couples, and all of them are here. They work so nicely. Within 1 year, we started our London temple, and it is going on very nicely. There is one newspaper article when the devotees first arrived in London, this Hare Krishna chant startles London. Headlines in one of the newspapers. Krishna chant startles London. So yes, they made a big impression. So big they attracted the attention of George Harrison and the Beatles, which were one of the most popular bands at that time. So Prabhupada says, it doesn't matter. Jai Krishna Tattavita Shai Guru Hoy. Doesn't matter if he's sannyasi, grihastha, or brahmachari. One who knows the science of Krishna and preaches all over the world. He is guru, spiritual master. He says, so in Europe and America, I'm especially creating more grihasthas, families, so they can take up this movement seriously and preach. And I'm glad to inform you this process has become very successful. So that was Srila Prabhupada's. How he executed the will of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. And in 1966, in August, this was in August 1966, he just incorporated ISKCON, just after the incorporation of ISKCON. Prabhupada said to all the hippies there with the long hair and half stoned out, and he said, so we require hundreds and thousands of spiritual masters who have understood this Krishna science and preach all over the world. So there he was, New York City, and what did he have to work with? Some half drugged hippies. And they were going to be his army of spiritual masters to go all over the world and preach. And so he says, now we have formed a society, we invite all sincere souls to take part, become spiritual master, and preach the science all over the world. So this is the conclusion. This was the same conclusion that Kapila Dev reached in his Sankhya philosophy, that Devahuti, she said, Aho Bhattasa Pachato Gariyan, that how glorious are those who are chanting the holy name of the Lord. It's the same conclusion in Ajamila's pastime, the same conclusion here. All throughout the Bhagavatam, even in the part about the structure of the universe, you'll find the holy name of Krishna. Because without the holy name, nothing can exist. Nothing can be held together. Everything in creation is these two things, Hare Krishna and Rama, holy name of Krishna. And this is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. So there is nothing else in all the 14 worlds except chanting of Hare Krishna. So we just have to realize it. That's all. And if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, the last verse in Srimad Bhagavatam is also about chanting Hari Nam Sankirtan. Harinam Sankirtan. So it's the conclusion of Bhagavatam. It's the essence of Bhagavatam. And it's the conclusion of this chapter as well. So verse 75 through 77, these verses were also spoken in chapter 10. Which verse? 49, is it? 48? Starting 48, 49, and 50. They're repeated for emphasis here in this chapter. To conclude these seventh canto. He's reassuring Maharaj Yudhisthira. So I'll sing this verse. Yuyam niloke patapuri paga lakam punana munaya piyanchi yesham gihan avasatiti saksha kuham paramba mamanushalinga. My dear Maharaj Yudhisthira, you Pandavas are so very fortunate in this world. That many, many great saints who can purify all the planets of the universe come to your house just like ordinary visitors. Furthermore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is living confidentially with you in your house, just like your brother. And so he's reassuring you to steer again. Don't worry, you're so fortunate. Do we have that commentary? Oh, you told me what it was, right? I'll say it at the end of 77. I think I have it written down. No, I don't have it written down. Oh, yes, here. So who says this? Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. That you are the best of all devotees, and you're the super best of all the varnas and the ashramas. And so that's what Narada Muni is saying here in these three verses. He's repeating it for stress. And we'll see what Srila Prabhupada says in this purport. Here is a statement exalting a Vaishnava. In human society, a Brahmana is the most respected person. A Brahmana is one who can understand Brahman, impersonal Brahman, but hardly ever can one understand Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is described by Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita as Param Brahma. A Brahmana may be extremely fortunate in having achieved Brahma Gyan, but the Pandavas were so exalted that the Parabrahman, Supreme Personality of Godhead, was living in their house like an ordinary human being. The word Puri Bhaga indicates that the Pandavas were in a still higher position than Brahmacharis and Brahmanas. In the following verses, Narada Muni repeatedly glorifies the position of the Pandavas. And so Yudhisthira is thinking, oh, I'm so unfortunate. Prahlad is fortunate. Lord Nrisingadev came personally to rescue him. But Nrisingadev was not very long with Prahlad, but Krishna is with the Pandavas practically for such a long time. And he's always there when they need him. He's more fortunate. He drove the chariot of Arjuna. He was always visiting them in the forest. So he was always there whenever Draupadi would call, Krishna would come. So there's another verse in fifth canto again, glorifying the Pandavas. 5, 6, 18. Rajan patir kudralam bhagatam yadunam daivam priyakula patir kachakin karava astreva manga bhagavan pachatam mukunda muktim dadati kahi chitsva dabhakti yogam. Shukadeva Goswami said, my dear king, Supreme Person Mukunda is actually the maintainer of all the members of the Pandava and Yadu dynasties. He is your spiritual master, worshipable deity, friend, and director of your activities. To say nothing of this, he sometimes serves your family as a messenger or servant. This means he worked just as ordinary servants do. Those engaged in getting the Lord's favor attain liberation from the Lord very easily, but he does not very easily give the opportunity to render direct service unto him. Why doesn't he give it easily? Direct devotional service, Vanamali? Yes. Then he becomes indebted and he cannot pay back his debt. And he becomes controlled and he has to sell himself and he has to go and become servant of the devotee. He has to go and serve. He was serving like a menial servant, Prabhupada says, just like a servant serves. He's a chariot driver. So in the purport to that verse, there's a little bit about the mentality again of. Now here, this verse is spoken to Maharaj Pariksit because Maharaj Pariksit was also thinking, oh, I'm so unfortunate. I didn't see Krishna and he's not born in my dynasty. So Prabhupada says, while instructing Maharaj Pariksit, Shukadeva Goswami thought it wise to encourage the king because the king might be thinking of the glorious position of various royal dynasties. Especially glorious is dynasty of Priyavrat, so that was fifth canto, in which Lord Vishabhadev incarnated. Similarly, the family of Uttanapad, father of Maharaj Dhruva, is glorious due to King Prithu's taking birth in it. Dynasty of Maharaj Raghu is glorified because Lord Ramachandra appeared in that family. And as far as the Yadu and Kuru dynasties, they existed simultaneously. But of the two, the Yadu dynasty was more glorious due to the appearance of Lord Krishna. Maharaj Pariksit might have been thinking the Kuru dynasty was not as fortunate as the others because the Supreme Lord did not appear in that family. Neither is Krishna, Ram, Lord Rishabhdev, or Maharaj Prithu. Therefore, he was encouraged by Shukadeva Goswami. In fact, then Prabhupada says, the Kuru dynasty may be considered more glorious due to the presence of devotees like the five Pandavas who rendered unalloyed devotional service. Although Lord Krishna did not appear in the Kuru dynasty, he was so obligated to the Pandavas' devotional service, he acted as maintainer of the family and spiritual master of the Pandavas. Although he took birth in the Yadu dynasty, he was more affectionate to the Pandavas. So that's what Srila Prabhupada said. This is 5:18, 5th canto, 6th chapter, verse 18. 5:6:18. By his actions, Lord Krishna proved he was more inclined to the Kuru dynasty than the Yadu dynasty. He was indebted to the Pandavas' devotional service, their messenger. He guided them through many dangerous situations. So Maharaj Pariksit should not have been saddened because Lord Krishna did not appear in his family. So actually, he's more fortunate than the Yadu dynasty is the Kuru dynasty because the devotees are born in that dynasty, five great devotees. So there's a verse where it says the worship of the devotees is higher than the worship of the Lord, which from Padma Purana, yes? Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnu aradhanam param tasmat paratanam devi tadiyanam mararchanam. So that means that the things related to me, my tadiyas, they are more dear to me. They are more worshipable than I am. And Shrestha Prabhu recently gave a Bhagavatam class. How many of you heard that class? He told one story. So I'll tell you. See, none of you heard it, so I can tell you. Yeah, he gave a very nice story illustrating this fact. Krishna was in Dwaraka. And Satyabhama was crying because she's saying, "Oh Krishna, he doesn't care about us at all. He's, you know, the gopis and all of them, they're really pleasing. He doesn't pay attention to us." So people were trying to pacify her, and then finally, I can't remember the whole story, but anyway, I know the end of it. You were there for class? No. Okay. So then they found out, okay, we have to do something to please Krishna. What will be very pleasing to Krishna? We have to give something very dear to Krishna. What's the best thing to give Krishna? Krishna said yes. So they came, Krishna said yes. You bring the dearest thing. I will sit on the scale, on one side of the scale, and on the other side, you bring the best thing and put it on the other side and see which will be equal to my weight. That will be my dearest thing. So Satyabhama took off all her jewelry and she put it on the scale. No. So Rukmini took off all her jewelry. No. Then all the queens took off all their jewelry and put it on the scale. No. So it wasn't that. And then Balaram came and he knew what to do. So what did Balaram put on the scale? You know. What is that? Tulsi, but something else besides the tulsi. Krishna's name. Oh, you were at the class. Yeah, so he wrote the name Krishna on the tulsi leaf. So the name of Krishna and the tulsi leaf, they're the most dear to Krishna. So just imagine that. Krishna's name that we have. We can chant any time and we can please Krishna so much by chanting his name. And we can offer tulsi to Krishna also. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yo me bhaktya prayachiti. So this is dear to Krishna. We have to think how to please Krishna, how to become dear to him. So verse 76, another repeated verse by Narada Muni, glorifying Pandavas. Shava ayam brahma mahat vimrigya kaivalya nirvana sukarna puti priyasritva kalamatuleya atmarhaniya vihikri gurusha. How wonderful it is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Parabrahman, Krishna, who is sought by great, great sages for the sake of liberation and transcendental bliss, is acting as your best well-wisher, your friend, your cousin, your heart and soul, your worshipable director, and your spiritual master. So it's interesting in this verse where it said, the great sages seek you. It doesn't say they get you. They don't get Krishna, they seek Krishna. There's a verse like that, which Prabhupada quotes often.
It's a verse of Prabhupada Tripadhyaya.
I don't know that one. But
that Rupa Goswami put in his Vajavali.
Acha.
That,
As
far as I'm concerned,
Shrutim itre.
Shrutim apare.
Spritim apare.
He's,
yes.
So they may be worshipping the Smriti.
They are worshipping Shruti and Smriti, but I worship Krishna crawling in the court. I worship Nanda Maharaj because Krishna is crawling in his courtyard. Yes. So this is Krishna. And there's another verse that describes how the great sages are trying and trying really hard to get the tip of the toe of the lotus feet of Krishna. Pantastu koti. Shatavatsara sampragamyo vayor tapi manaso munipungavanam. So pyastiyat prabhadasim anuj avichintyatatve govindam adipurisham tamaham pajami. That they're trying to, at the speed of the mind, for many, many births, they're drilling the respiration. They're trying to do pranayam for so many births, just to get the glimpse of the tip of the toe of lotus feet of Krishna. But here, Krishna is living in their house. He's not only living, he's a friend, he's the director, he's the guru, he's the watchman, he's everything for the Pandavas. Because they gave everything to him. So if you give everything to Krishna, then Krishna will be everything for you. You know, this is what the essence of this seventh canto, how Krishna relates to his devotees, how Krishna cares for his devotees. So in Brihadbhagavatamrita, Hanuman is speaking to Narada. Hanuman is an example of a great brahmachari, and so is Narada Muni. They're both staunch celibates. So here, Hanuman says this verse. This is Brihadbhagavatamrita 1.4.1.10. Please do not let your intelligence become shrouded by the offensive idea that you and I are staunch celibates and the Pandavas mere householders distracted by political affairs. So that's the verse. And the commentary, in this verse, Hanuman lays to rest any doubt by which one might think that because the Pandavas are wealthy sense gratifiers, renunciants like him and Narada should avoid associating with them. Hanuman here uses the plural form asman to include, by implication, the four kumaras and other lifelong celibates. Simply to think the Pandavas are materialists, even without saying anything against them, is a grave offense against pure Vaishnavas, an offense from which the offender might never be able to recover. So, be careful. Be careful not to judge people by how they are living. Be careful not to judge a Vaishnava. He may be a wealthy householder, but who knows, he may be a pure devotee of Krishna. So therefore, Narada should not start thinking in this way. So in the purport to 76, Krishna can become director and spiritual master of anyone who is serious about getting the mercy of Krishna. The Lord sends a spiritual master to train a devotee. And when the devotee is advanced, the Lord acts as a spiritual master within his heart. And there's our favorite verse. Tesham satayuktanam vajatam pipurvakam dadami vipiyagam tam yenamam upiyantate. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Krishna does not become the direct spiritual master unless one is fully trained by his representative spiritual master. So first you have to become fully trained. And then Krishna will start speaking in your heart, not before. So this is, in Science of Self-Realization, there's another quote which explains this. In the beginning of Krishna consciousness, the dictation of the Lord is received through the transparent medium of the spiritual master. When one is sufficiently trained and acts with submissive faith and love for Krishna, under direction of a bona fide spiritual master, the dovetailing process becomes more firm and accurate. At this stage, Krishna dictates from within. From without, he is helped by the spiritual master, and from within, he helps his Chaita Guru. So we are waiting for this stage to come where Krishna will speak directly to us. Of course, Krishna is already speaking in so many ways to us, but we have to simply develop our ears to hear. Again, in 4:28-41, there's a nice purport about this. The Lord speaks directly to the individual soul when the devotee has completely purified himself by rendering devotional service to the Lord. He acts as Chaita Guru. He's in everyone's heart, but he gives direct instructions only to the advanced pure devotees. So this is, again, the same thing. And this is the distinct advantage obtained by a liberated soul. So you'll know, you all know when you're liberated, when Krishna starts talking to you in your heart and giving you direct instructions. And Srila Prabhupada had this direct, and one reporter asked him that once. How do you decide who is going to be your temple presidents and different people? How do you make these decisions? And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, I have, the Lord is, Lord in my heart, he's telling me. He's direct. The Lord is speaking to me, he's telling me. And so then, to make sure the reporter understood, one of my godbrothers tried to explain the words of Srila Prabhupada. Yes, you see, the super soul is in the heart, and he is intelligence. So he gives us the intelligence to make these decisions. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, he speaks to me. Hey, so there you have it. He speaks to me. So this is going on for the advanced devotee. So therefore, there's no doubt that his instructions are very pure, coming directly. As we heard, I think, day before yesterday, Srila Prabhupada says when he sits down to dictate, then Krishna is dictating these books to him. So that's what we are getting here, direct. So all of Prabhupada's books are direct dictation from Krishna. And so we're very, very fortunate to have these books, Srimad Bhagavatam, and to lead us out of the darkness of material existence. Now verse 77 is the last of the verses, which is repeated by Narada Muni. Nayasya saksha bhavapadmajadihi rupam tiyavastutaya pavarnitam Maunena bhaktya pashamena puchita siddhatam esha sasatatam pati. Present here now is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose true form cannot be understood even by such great personalities as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. He is realized by devotees because of their unflinching surrender. May that same Personality of Godhead, who is the maintainer of his devotees and who is worshipped by silence, by devotional service and by cessation of material activities, be pleased with us. So maunena, silence, and devotional service, bhaktya, and cessation of material activities, upa shamena, three methods of worshipping the Lord. And this is end of that purport. Prabhupada says, after instructing Yudhisthira Maharaj, Narada Muni prays for the Lord's blessings, that he be pleased with everyone, and that everyone become perfect in God consciousness and return home back to Godhead. So, guess what? Narada Muni is blessing us here, Prabhupada says. He's giving blessings to everyone. So we're hearing these blessings, so we're getting the blessings of Narada Muni here, because we heard, we finished seventh canto, and we're here on the last day, and we're getting the blessings that we will also go back to Godhead. Prabhupada explains what those blessings are. We become perfect in God consciousness and return home back to Godhead. So you can read this verse again when you have some doubts and you're feeling, oh, it's hopeless. You get the blessings of Narada Muni and Srila Prabhupada in the purport. Narada Muni is praying for us. Everybody's praying for us, actually. He is our Param 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 Guru, Narada Muni, way back. He's praying for us to go back to Godhead because we're in his disciplic succession. And not only that, he's just praying anyway for everyone to go back to Godhead. He's one of those wonderful devotees. Verse 78, Shukadeva Goswami said, Mahārāja Yudhisthira, the best member of the Bharat dynasty, thus learned everything from the descriptions of Narada Muni. After hearing these instructions, he felt great pleasure from within his heart. And in great ecstasy, love and affection, he worshipped Lord Krishna. Purport, Prabhupada says, it is natural that when someone belonging to one's family circle is understood to be very great, one becomes ecstatic in love, thinking, oh, such a great personality is our relative. When Sri Krishna, who is already known to the Pandavas, was further described by Narada Muni to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, naturally, the Pandavas were amazed, thinking, Supreme Personality of Godhead is with us as our cousin. Certainly, their ecstasy was extraordinary. So they had this ecstasy, the Supreme Lord is our cousin. What greater ecstasy could be than that? Is there a greater ecstasy? Yes, there is. What ecstasy is greater than that? Yes.
Krishna.
Shishya is my child, yes.
That's the personality of God.
Yes. When you forget that, oh, he's the Supreme Lord. Because why? Why is it greater? Why is it greater to think, oh, he is, to forget that he's the Supreme Lord and think, oh, he is my child? Why is it, yes? It's
more intimate.
It's more intimate. Yes. It's more intimate. You can do so many things with him that if you showed anew that Krishna is the Lord of all the universes and everything's emanating from the pores of his body, then I don't think she would chastise him. And even she had the vision of the universal form. She saw it in his mouth. But then that Aishwarya Gyan, that Shakti, that Aishwarya Shakti, it was covered by Yoga Maya and she forgot. Otherwise she couldn't be like a mother to him. So it's greater because they control. Of course, the Pandavas also control Krishna, but not with a stick like Mother Yashoda. She's controlling Krishna with a stick. Yes, yes. She couldn't keep Krishna with her prayers. He stayed for Yudhisthira, actually. Yudhisthira got him. He couldn't refuse. Well, yes, even though Kunti was also his superior, but Yudhisthira had such a love, such a prema. Yes, he had such a prema that he could not refuse. Yes? Yes, Devaki and Vasudev, they said, you know, but still, actually, even though they understood he was the Supreme Lord, they were afraid. They said, please change your form so we can hide you somewhere. They were saying, please change your form. Oh, welcome, Yashoda. Yeah, after they came back.
That's when they were...
Achacha. Yeah, well, they had two mentalities when Krishna was born. One was that, oh, they were offering all these beautiful prayers. But then it still mixed with that was parental. And they were, you know, please change your form because if you don't, then how can we hide you? We want to hide you somewhere. Where can we hide you? You know, with four arms, very difficult to hide such a child with a helmet and dazzling ornaments. And so he changed himself. And he said, take me across the Jamuna. Yeah, so when we get to Krishna Leela, it will be so wonderful next year. And we hear how these devotees love Krishna so much. So Yudhisthira, he had prema. But at the same time, he could understand Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is a verse in the third canto which explains about that. Does anybody remember that verse? It's that the Yadus, Uddhava is saying that the Yadus are unfortunate, but I am more unfortunate And then there was another verse. He was saying, Yadus, they understood, they saw Krishna as Paramatma in everyone's heart, super soul. They understood that he was a super soul. He says, but I am even more unfortunate because I could not serve him properly. And so these are just feelings of devotees. And we get to the 10th canto, then there will be so many waves, vatsalya, waves of vatsalya prema, waves of different things, different feelings. And Krishna is controlled by that. He's helpless. He cannot. He was so afraid of Mother Yashoda. Actually, I was hearing the pastime of the, where he showed the universal form. And one of the commentators said that he did that to distract her so she would forget that he ate dirt and she would punish him. So he showed his universal form. So she said, what's this? She forgot to punish him. Oh, yeah, she got distracted. Hey, what's going on? Oh, yeah, okay. Anyway, just don't do it again. It was funny. Yeah, so she wouldn't remember to punish him. He was so scared he showed his universal form. That'll... So next year will be lots of fun. Yeah, these pastimes of his mother and his father, quite exciting. So here we're getting a small taste of these pastimes in 7th canto, Yudhisthira, Prahlad Maharaj, on one level. But when we get to the 10th canto, then we will have the experience of how these, the greatest devotees love Krishna. And it's described how we should not try to imitate them, not try think, I want to become like, even like Yashoda or like these devotees, but we have to understand all these positions are already taken. All the top positions are taken. In the spiritual world, we can't become one of those, but we can be who we are. And who we are is what? More than Krishna Das. Das, Das, Anu Das. We can become Das, Das. We can be the servant of Yashoda. We can be the servants of these, the servant of the servant. We may not even be the servant of these devotees, but we'll become servant of these devotees. And we'll be happy because that's who we are. We're trying to, our whole problem in this world is we're trying to be who we're not. And that's where we're suffering. Trying so hard to enjoy separately from Krishna. And so we suffer. So verse 78, Shishukadev Goswami said, Maharaj Yudhisthira, the best member of the Bharat dynasty, thus learned everything from the descriptions of Narada Muni. After hearing these instructions, he felt great pleasure from within his heart. Oh, I read this already. And in great ecstasy, love and affection, he worshipped Lord Krishna. So we read that verse. Verse 79. Krishna Partha Rupa Mancha Purjita Prayaya Muni Shritva Krishnam Param Brahma Partha Paramavismita. Narada Muni, being worshipped by Krishna and Maharaj Yudhisthira, bade them farewell and went away. Yudhisthira Maharaj, having heard that Krishna, his cousin, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was struck with wonder. So just imagine, and this canto started with Nisingadev and Prahlad Maharaj, and it's ending with Krishna. Krishna's here right at the end of this canto. We thought we wouldn't see him until 10th canto, but here he is, right in these verses, Krishna. Krishna's in the Sanskrit in 78. It's Pujayam Asa Suprita Krishnam Chaprema Vivala. And in this verse also, Krishna came, Param Brahma, but he's Param Brahma. He's not Nanda Nandana or Yashoda Nandana. He's Param Brahma for us in the 7th canto. But very, very soon, next year, he'll become Yashoda Nandana and Nanda Nandana. He'll become a very sweet little boy who's very mischievous and always in trouble with his mother and with everybody else in the neighborhood. So here he's starting, he's making a little slight appearance here just to attract us. And the purport Prabhupada says, after hearing the conversation between Narada and Yudhisthira, if one still has any doubts about Krishna's being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should immediately give them up. Anybody has any doubts about Krishna being the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Prabhupada says, You should immediately give them up. Asam shayam samagram. Where is that coming from? That asam 7:1. Mayasakta manapartam. So this is anartanavritti. When we give up all our doubts, then we come to nishta, which is the next level after anartanavritti. Without any doubt, without any defect, one should understand Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus surrender at His lotus feet. Well, why Krishna? Why not? This is all about Nishinga Leela in this canto. Why Krishna? Krishna's too Bhagavan Swayam. Yes. Nishingadev is, Krishna is Nishingadev. He is when he gets angry. When he gets angry in this world, he appears as Nishingadev. When he gets angry in Goloka, then he's just somebody else. Actually, when he was 2 years old, he got very angry because somebody caught him stealing butter in their house. And he was chastising the people. He says, "You think I'm a thief? If you say I'm a thief, then I'll burn your house down." He was 2 years old. So now, of course, 2 years old, it's pretty cute. But if he was like 18 or 19 or 25, it wouldn't have been very cute. But because he was a small child, and it was cute. He got angry at these people. But in this world, he gets angry, then he means it. Nishingadev, he comes and you don't want to get in his way. And so this is... But this is Krishna also. Krishna is Nishingadev. But Nishingadev is not Krishna in his full opulence. Sadaishwarya Purna. He doesn't have all the... Actually, Sadaishwarya he may have, but the last four of the 64. The flute playing. Nishingadev doesn't play the flute. He doesn't have these sweet pastimes with his devotees. So he doesn't have the Rupa Madhurya, Leela Madhurya, all these things he doesn't have. So only Krishna has these things. So therefore we worship Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What are the four things? Vena Madhurya, Leela Madhurya. Where is Leela Madhurya? Leela Madhurya and Rupa Madhurya. Oh, beautiful form of Krishna. And what's the last one? Leela, Rupa, Venu. Venu I got. Rupa I got. Leela I got. And one I'm forgetting. Devotee Madhurya? Bhakta Madhurya? I don't think so. Something Madhurya. Okay, anyway, maybe it's up in folio. Look it up. So these things only Krishna has, and that's why he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that's why we worship him. So verse... Oh, let's keep... We're in this purport still. Ordinary persons, okay, without any doubt and without any defect, one should understand Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of God and thus surrender his lotus feet. Ordinary persons do not do this, even after hearing all the Vedas. But if one is fortunate, although it may be even after many, many births, he comes to this conclusion, Bahunam Jamanamante Gyanavan Mam Prabhadite. Which one are we missing? Prema Madhurya, okay. Prema Madhurya, the sweetness of love of these devotees, like here we have an example. Yudhisthira has one type of love, but these Brijabasis have a completely different type of love for him. So Prema Madhurya. This is found in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Verse 80. On all the planets within this universe, the varieties of living entities, moving and non-moving, including demigods, demons, and human beings, were all generated from the daughters of Maharaj Daksha. I have now described them in their different dynasties. Thazen, Bhaktivedanta Purports of 7th Canto, 15th Chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, completed on the night of Vaishak Shukla Ekadashi, 10th of May, 1976, in the temple of the Panchatattva, New Nabadweep, Honolulu, by the mercy of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Adwaita Gadadha, Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Thus we may happily chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So it ends with the holy name, seventh canto. And I have here some commentary describing the, again, the connection between the two, the first ten and the last ten, or actually the what is going on in the seventh canto, how it describes uti, which is vasana, two kinds of uti, auspicious and inauspicious, arising from anger or mercy of the saints. The saints are of three kinds, pure devotees, those who perform devotion mixed with gyan, and gyanis, who have a mixture of bhakti. What's the difference between those last two? Hiranyakashipu was motivated by inauspicious vasana, the cause of which was ancient anger of Sananda and other kumaras. His son Prahlad, on the other hand, had exalted vasana, inspiring him for pure devotion. It had arisen by the mercy of the lotus feet of Narada. His protection from the elephant of the demon's offense by the mercy of Narada, his character filled with qualities like humility and respectfulness from this great narrative. So this is his, the mercy of Narada Muni. People should nourish the creeper of bhakti, watering it with services like hearing. In this way, the narration of the first 10 chapters delineates the pure form of bhakti. The last 5 chapters describe the nature of pratani puta bhakti, mixed bhakti with bhakti as primary element, which is to be obtained from a devotee guru, and guna bhuta bhakti, mixed bhakti with bhakti as a secondary element, which is from, forms the environment for the former. By these three forms of bhakti, kevala, pratani bhuta, and guna bhuta, one can achieve prema, shanta bhakti, and liberation, respectively. Thus, the seventh canto, in its 15 chapters, should be cherished by sadhus. So, this was Rishina Chakravarti Thakur. Now, Balaba says, Shri Balab, sixth canto describes pushti, poshanam, how the Lord protects his devotees. So, to clarify that he is not at fault for partiality, the seventh canto describes uti, the driving force in the living entities. So now we are concluding a description which began in third canto with Kapila Dev, Devahuti. This is the dynasty of Uttanapad. And the fifth canto descends to Priyavrat. And then after that, Daksha's daughters and their descendants. So the population of universe has been described in these seven cantos. And in eighth canto, we'll hear more about the Manvantaras, Manvantara incarnations, and even the future ones, the present and the future and the past, and will be all up to date, even up to the end of this Manu. So now to end this canto, I'd like to sing a song in honor of Narada Muni, who has given us this seventh canto. Narada Muni Vachai Vina Radhikaramana Name Nama Mani Uritohoi Bhakata Gita Shami Panchavatana Narada Thore Premera Shadana Dola Narada Muni Bachai Bina Radhika Ramana Name Kamala Sana Nachiya Bole Bola Bolo Hari Bola Sahasranana Paramashike Hari Hari Kolikaya Nama Prabhave Matila Visha Namara Shashabe Paya Narada Muni Bachai Vina Radhika Ramana Name. So this song is quoted in the sixth canto, fifth chapter, verse 22 purport. And I took a little bit of the purport. Prabhupada says, the purport of this song is that Narada Muni, the great soul, plays a string instrument called a veena, vibrating the sound Radhika Ramana, which is another name for Krishna. As soon as he strokes the strings, all the devotees begin responding, making a very beautiful vibration. Lord Shiva embraces Narada Muni and begins talking in an ecstatic voice. Seeing Lord Shiva dancing with Narada, Lord Brahma joins, saying, all of you kindly chant, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. So the scene is going on here. Lord Shiva is embracing Narada and dancing with him, and Lord Brahma is saying, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, and he starts to dance. The King of Heaven, Indra, also gradually joins with great satisfaction, begins dancing and chanting, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. In this way, by the influence of the transcendental vibration of the holy name of God, the whole universe becomes ecstatic. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, When the universe becomes ecstatic, my desire is satisfied. I therefore pray to the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami, this chanting of Harinam may go on nicely like this. Jai, Shri Prabhupada. 22. So, any questions or comments? Vanamali.
Two comments.
Because of his beauty, Narada Muni fell down. Remind you of the verse, Jamaishraya Shuta Shibir. So true. If you have all of these material qualifications, it's very difficult to chant with feeling. Feelingly chant. Okay, another comment? Yes, Narada Muni, he was Upabharana then. He became proud and started glorifying somebody else. And others were they were glorifying him, yes.
Devotees also get glorification from so many.
And devotees get glorified, yes.
And then they feel a little proud.
When they get proud.
Go out of rest.
And they may even leave Krishna consciousness, become
still
proud.
From their
own. Yes, they will go up because of their previous service. Okay, any other questions? Alisha Shripa. First 10 chapters and last 5 chapters. Yeah, there's two types of vasana or desires, uti, two types. One is out of anger and one is out of mercy. So uti means desire or impetus for action. So Hiranyakashipu got the one, the uti or the vasana, which is a cause inauspicious, caused by the anger of the four Kumaras. Prahlad got an auspicious vasana caused by the mercy of Narada Muni. So it shows the what is pure devotional service. Okay? Adipush. Three kinds of bhakti and three kinds of devotees. Bhakti Mishra Gyan.
Then there is Gyan Mishra Bhakti.
And boy, what's the difference? Bhakti Mishra Gyan and Gyan Mishra Bhakti. Well, there is a difference. Yeah. One's a devotee mixed with Gyan, and the other's a Gyani mixed with a little devotion. Okay.
And there is
Kevala. Prema Bhakti, Shanta Bhakti, and liberation.
And Mukta.
Mukta.
So, who are these? Who are they?
Okay, who is the example of Kevala? That should be Prahlad, yes?
And Yudhishthir?
Yudhishthir is, well, he's. He's also Prema.
Oh, yes.
Oh, right. Yeah, that could be Shanta Bhakti. Somebody says that, right? That he's Shanta Bhakta? Yes, because he's, okay. He's in Smaranam level. That's Shanta Bhakta.
Gyana.
Bhakta, Misha, Gyana.
Would that be the
Avaduta? Bhakti, Misha, Gyana. Oh, that could be, huh? The Avaduta, Bhakti, Misha, Gyana, Dattatreya. Karma and Jnana mixed with Bhakti, Devayana and Pitriyana.
Is that
correct? Karma, Devayana and Pitriyana. Karma and Jnana, yes. Mixed with Bhakti. Okay. That's what we're hearing in this 15th chapter. Karma, yes. Jnanakanda, Karmakanda, Jnanakanda. Yes. It could be. Hopefully.
It doesn't
give a result, so it must be. It must be mixed, or else you won't get the result of going to these places. Without bhakti, then nothing works in this world.
So,
I think your analysis is correct, that Dushanta Bhakti is Prahlad Maharaj.
And Prema Bhakti is Yudhishthir.
And Yudhishthir. Prema Bhakti is Yudhishthir, yes. And Mukta, who is the Mukta? That's Dattatreya. Yeah, the Avadut.
Mm-hmm.
Avadut. Yeah, that's a good analysis. Yes. Madhavendapuri.
So
yeah.
Maybe.
It could be. But Prabhupada never liked to hear. And Prabhupada never liked to hear that Narada Muni was fallen. Because I remember in Mayapur, one devotee was giving a class from so many Puranas, one after the other, how Narada Muni fell like this and fell like that and fell like that. Oh, my God. Yeah. Pumshali Rinsha.
What?
Pumshali. Pumshali nature. Prostitute nature. Okay, so there's a story here from Narada Pancharatra. what actually happened was that he hit the wrong note because he got distracted by the women who were surrounding him. He looked at them and then he made a mistake in his singing. The demigods knew why. So therefore they cursed him. They got so angry because they were in ecstasy in the kirtan. And here Narada Muni's blowing it. Ubabharana. That sometimes happens in our kirtans too. You should see Indra get angry when somebody misses a beat. Yes. So there it's a much higher level of kirtan, very subtle. And the musician, I mean, that's the musicians there are something else. So you can't, if you make a, just think if you make a mistake up there, what happens to you? But it wasn't just that he made a mistake, it's why he made the mistake. And everybody knows why he made the mistake. So there, like, mental offenses are quite serious in the heavenly planets. Mental offenses, because it's a subtle realm. So you have lust in your mind and your intelligence, then you cannot live there. Yeah. Why did he become a Gandharva? This is Narada Pancharatra again. Okay, this is from Narada Pancharatra. Described Narada was the son of Brahma, and Brahma told him, ordered him, like the Kumaras, to have children, and he refused. So then Narada Muni cursed him that you must become a Gandharva, and you'll be surrounded by hundreds of women. So do what your father says. Or else, no. But actually, he didn't. He remained brahmachari. Yes, yes. Not what the guru. Do what your guru says. Your guru. Anyway, yes. Any other stories? No, we don't want to hear stories anymore. That was good. Narada Pancharatra. Okay. Anything else? Yeah, yeah, for sure. You know, Prabhupada said that in the purport, that he heard, even in Nectar Devotion, it's mentioned, this verse is mentioned, that Yudhisthira was feeling a little bit, I can't remember who it was, Parikshit or Yudhisthira. There's a verse in Nectar Devotion. One of them was feeling a little bit inferior. And so then Shukadeva and Narada was encouraging. Maybe it was Yudhisthira, I can't remember which. Or both, yeah. Anyway, one of them's in Nectar Devotion. And Prabhupada does say they were feeling that Prahlad is so much greater, and what's the hope for me? It must have been Yudhisthira. Must have been, because he's mentioned in here. Yudhisthira. Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.